Hi everybody, welcome to the Save the Earth podcast. Thank you for tuning in. The opinions and views presented in this podcast do not represent UConn Praxis, WHUS, or the University of Connecticut.
Hello everyone, you are listening to the Save the Earth podcast, the first episode of the second season. This season is going to be taken over by the Zero Waste and the Sustainable Skies campaign within UConn Praxis, hosted by me and Jessica.
Hi everybody, I run Zero Waste, I'm the campaign coordinator for that, so I'm really excited to be on the podcast.
Yes, for those of you that don't know, my name is Mehdi Namazi, I am the Sustainable Skies campaign coordinator for this semester. So a little bit of a rundown for why we took over the podcast. So the Save the Earth podcast in the past has been done by the Save the Earth campaign within UConn Praxis. But this semester, the campaign is not being run, so we are running it in its place.
Yes, it was kind of like split into two, but it's nice because we get to be a little more collaborative with the podcast now, get more ideas. I think it's going to be really great.
Yes, so very exciting stuff. So this first episode, we're going to be going over consumerism's role in the environmental crisis. And we brought a guest over. Please introduce yourself.
Hi everyone, I'm Sam. I'm an environmental studies and political science major here at UConn. I do a lot of studying of consumer behaviors relating to the environment and the effects that it has, as well as human rights. So I'm really excited to be here.
Cool. So very glad to have her on for this episode. So Jess has a little bit of things to kind of get us started and get the ball rolling, so I'm going to pass it over to her to get that.
So I think I really like that we picked this podcast to start it off, because I feel like it's such a good segue into like every other thing that we're going to talk about in later episodes. So I have like, we're going to talk about agriculture and how that fits into consumerism, things like, well, we all know like Thanksgiving and Black Friday is coming up, so let's just get started. I actually found something from National Geographic that said that even as like people gain higher incomes and they become like larger consumers, it doesn't really translate into being happier. There's kind of like a cap of where you get to a nice income, and then the more you make after that doesn't really bring you any more satisfaction, which is kind of crazy because like, you think about getting more things, getting all of this is like gonna bring you some type of like new happiness to your life. But really what we're consuming, and as we get more money, as the earth like and countries evolve into more developed countries, we're not really gaining that much within our own mental health. And it's just kind of, the point is it's just hurting the environment. We're not really gaining more. I thought that was like really crazy. It's something I didn't think about, was how consumerism also affects our mental health as well.
I think that's really important to bring up. I do think the discussion about there being a cap on the kind of mental health aspect is very important to bring up, because we can talk about how up until that point, there is a negative effect on the mental health of individuals. I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, so it's kind of a very desperate area to get some more income and some more resources. So when you grow up in an area like that and you see the disparities of wealth, especially coming to the Storrs campus, it's kind of struggle. It's a struggle to see the mental health differences that that community is dealing with versus when you come here.
Do this statistic, like I want you guys to keep in mind though that this article was written in 2004, so it might have changed obviously, but findings from a survey of life satisfaction in more than 65 countries indicate that income and happiness tend to track well until about $13,000 of annual income per person, which in 1995 dollars, so obviously cost of living and everything and income would have changed, appears to produce only modest increments in self-reported happiness. So once you reach that cap, you're not really gaining anything else from consuming more. You're just at that point consuming for what reason? You're just hurting the planet and other things. You're not gaining anything else from it. I think that's important.
Yeah, and I also want to talk about how when people consume and when people consume a certain amount of just anything really, it kind of gets to a point that you feel an overwhelming sense that you are consuming a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I feel like there's countless amounts of resources that we have, especially in the United States, that we can kind of just throw away after we use them. One of these things is clothing. So we kind of go through clothes as if they're nothing, as if it's kind of just like a fun little trend. And actually, me and Sam are in a class together, and we read a book by Petra Rivoli about the travels of a t-shirt and how a t-shirt can be produced partially in the U.S. with their cotton production and sent to places like China to be produced even further into t-shirts. Then they're sent back to the United States to be consumed, and then after that, we kind of throw them away and they're sent to kind of distant countries that are in desperate need for additional clothing. And so that was really impactful to me, and that's actually why I got involved in the clothing swap that's being hosted by EcoHusky. Sam really was able to bring that opportunity to me and get me and my campaign involved. So if you want to talk a little bit more about that, Sam, I would love for that.
Yeah, I think that a really important aspect with clothing, as well as most products that people buy, especially college students, is they want to be able to have all of the products that their friends have, and they deserve that. And instead of buying like a nice quality product, they'll tend to buy a cheap alternative because that is what they can afford. And then that kind of leads to a cycle of replacing it because it's not produced well. And then that is, you know, obviously very wasteful. And at the end of the day, you're going to end up spending the same amount of money that you otherwise would have already, like, purchasing the correct, like, the best quality item, I should say. And that's definitely true for clothing. A big reason for that in the clothing industry is because of fast fashion. Everyone is always changing the new, like, trendy styles, and they want to keep up with it. So here at UConn, there's a few different organizations and students working together to try to have more sustainable fashion. We're talking about the idea of slow fashion as well, where you can bring back things that maybe have been forgotten about. And I definitely have noticed a lot of students getting complimented for wearing like trendy old items from like retro items. But yeah, so we have been hosting these swaps, seasonal swaps, so that people can bring clothes that they don't want anymore and swapping them for a different piece of clothing which they would feel more comfortable in now. This is especially relevant at UConn, where there is not a lot of access to buying affordable clothes. Really the only place where students who don't have cars can buy clothes at UConn is at the bookstore, which everything in the bookstore says UConn on it. It's been like trademark licensed, and therefore it costs 3 times the amount that it would cost at the mall. So that is a huge aspect of why we were all inspired to have a clothing swap, for access, to prevent waste, and so that we can build a community of students that are comfortable with what they wear ethically and fashionably.
Hmm.
That was really great. I'm like super excited. When is that clothing swap gonna be?
We just had one actually a few weeks ago. It was really successful. Lots of people came. The biggest issue that I would say happened was that students come to UConn with only the clothes that they want. There was nothing that they brought that they really, like, that they brought to school with them that they wanted to give up. So going forward, I think that that's going to be less of an issue now that they know that we have this program. But the next one, I think, is going to be at the end of November, mid-November. Still in the works.
Yeah, that's awesome. Super excited. But yeah, I mean, retail has such a big impact on our environment. Like, I know it takes, like, so many gallons of water to dye a t-shirt, so much, like, cotton, so many resources, and I know, like, also it's not, like, it depends a lot on even just the material that the clothes they're buying, not even how much clothes that you're buying, but cotton is so much better for our environment than, like, synthetic fibers that a lot of clothes are made out of. So even if you're, like, conscious about the amount of clothing that you're buying, it's also important to be conscious of the type of clothing that you're buying. Just like you said, like, the quality of the product. I know synthetic fibers are going to leave, like, microplastics and stuff in our waterways when you do your laundry and everything like that and go into our oceans. But cotton really isn't going to do that so much as that type of material would. So it's also, like, important to keep that in mind when you're doing retail and stuff like that.
I think another important point relating to the fast fashion industry is the amount that people are ready to pay for an article of clothing. I know a lot of college students, including myself, don't really feel excited about spending more than $10 on any piece of clothing, which is grossly low, first of all. But yeah, when you're in the store and you see that it's like $40 for a pair of jeans, that's definitely a turnoff. But when you see, when you look at a price tag that's lower, part of you is like, I'm excited that this is more affordable. But on the other hand, what are the human rights impacts for the people who made this clothing? Who made the clothing?
Yeah.
It's really difficult to understand because when you buy clothes, you don't know who made it. There's no...
you don't get a background story.
Yeah, there's no tags. There's no pictures of the person. I love when you buy something and there's a picture of, like, the artist.
Oh, my gosh.
It,
at, like,
jewelry.
Lush.
Yeah.
You know, they have, like, the
yeah.
picture of the employee that made it on the tag. I love that.
Yeah, it's so much fun. But it's really hard with clothes. You don't really see that very often.
Mm-hmm.
And especially within this particular industry, clothes are something that are always handmade. There's like sewing machines that people use to actually sew the pieces together, but humans have to make the cloth and work the machines that make the thread and do all of the fun, you know, grow the cotton in order to make fabric.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that is in this industry very different from other industries, whereas you buy an iPhone or, I don't know, a face mask. That's something that, a face mask is a bad example.
Well, I think that really the point is, like, there's a reason those clothes are so cheap.
Yes.
That we're not seeing.
Yes.
There's a reason why it's only, like, $10. It's because it was easy to make. Like, it was because it was just created by waste. It's going to be waste. Things
mm-hmm.
that are going to be more sustainable are going to cost a lot more to make, and that's why you're paying
yeah.
more for the product.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you're looking for cheap clothes, I think that it's always important to, like, just your mind shouldn't really go to this online shop from all the way across the world where they make their clothes and are
Shein.
Yes, thank you.
Not to call out specific places, but Shein.
Yes, places like that, fast fashion. If you're looking for cheaper stuff, there's a way to get that, and that's thrift stores. That's this clothing swap here on campus. That's a way to get new clothes in your closet
yes.
for cheaper and, like, just feel better about it.
Yeah.
I will have to say before we transition to more things in consumerism, it is important. I started thrifting, and then someone made aware to me that I didn't even think about was, like, thrift stores are super awesome, and they're amazing, and you should go as much as you can, but, like, be aware that, like, if you can afford more higher quality stuff and you're buying clothes from a thrift store, you are taking it away from people who might not be able to go to, like, the mall and buy clothes. So be aware where you're thrifting, you know, because some people need they're their only source to get clothing with lower income. So that's important just to keep in mind when you are
yeah.
thrifting, where you're thrifting and, like, how much you take.
Yes.
And I think that people should definitely have access to clothes no matter what. And if you are going to thrift stores and you have a higher, you know, socioeconomic background, bring clothes with you to donate so that other people can buy them.
Yeah, good rule of thumb is, like, every piece of clothing that you take, try and drop off another piece of clothing, you know, at the store. I know the Saver is near campus. Well, not near campus. It's, like, 30
minutes.
It's about
30 minutes, yes.
It's about 30 minutes, but if you donate, you get a discount. So definitely keep that in mind. But I think, like, clothing is not really the only thing we want to talk about with consumerism.
Yes.
Like, single-use plastic, I know you've heard every single environmentalist talk about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Every single person.
79% of things that we recycle end up in a landfill anyways, and I think that that is completely tragic. There's so many different reasons for it, too. Like, a lot of people just don't know, and there's not really places to go to see what you can and you can't recycle, so people just kind of throw them in the recycling bins and hope for the best, which I can admit I have done it in the past.
Yes, we all have.
If you haven't, like, good for you, but, like,
you're
at the end of the day, yeah, you are the absolute superstar, but a lot of the times you just don't know, and you hope that whoever it is at the recycling plant can figure it out for you, but that is a huge number. 4 out of 5 things we recycle don't end up getting recycled anyway, which is pretty devastating. Yes.
It's really heartbreaking because you think that you're trying your best, and it makes you feel a little hopeless.
Yeah. But there is ways that we can fix it. We're starting works on trying to educate people on how to recycle. So there's going to be resources available shortly. Actually, the Sustainable Skies campaign is working on getting QR codes that we can put on the recycling bins throughout campus that have information on how we can recycle. And at least on the store's campus, all of our recycling goes to a plant in Willimantic, which is actually pretty close for a recycling plant for a university. But at the end of the day, most of the things that we recycle do not get recycled anyways. So it's quite tragic.
Yeah, I think that, like, also we don't even realize how much waste we're creating because we throw it away and we don't have to look at it, like, anymore. We don't, like, it's out of sight, out of mind, you know? I think if everybody took, like, a week, I mean, obviously for health reasons we can't do this, but in your head, if you can picture, like, rather than throwing all of your trash into a trash bin and then bringing it out to the side of the road and it being taken away, if you just started throwing it into a pile in your front yard, how big would that be at the end of the week? Like, we have no idea how much waste we create because we never have to deal with it or even look at it, you know? And that also brings me to another fact that I learned. A huge portion, I'm pretty sure, like, 70% of, like, the plastic that goes into the ocean sinks to the bottom of the seafloor. So those huge garbage islands, like, patches that we're talking about all the time is not even the majority of the waste that we are creating in the ocean. The majority of the waste that we're creating, we will never, ever be able to get out of the ocean because it's at the seafloor. We don't have access to getting it out, so all of that plastic you see in the videos, you see in the movies, like, that is not even, like, the tiniest bit of it. You know, most of it we can't see and we're never going to be able to get out of our oceans.
Yeah, maybe you could call it the Trash Atlantis. The city under the sea. It's just trash.
Oh, my God.
Just trash all over.
Landfill
under the sea. Yeah. I do think that that's a problem that exists more in college campuses for students that are dorming as opposed to in apartments off campus, live with their families, because they do see how much garbage they produce. I remember when I was in high school, I had a competition with my best friend to see who could produce the least amount of garbage in a week. And we had to always, like, keep a bag with us to put our garbage in. And at this point, we were doing so much research on, like, zero waste and how to, like, waste less. And it was a really fun experience, but I do think that having that kind of instilled something of a hoarding phenomenon. Like, if I use a plastic bottle, I'm just like, I can't throw it away.
Oh my gosh, I have like 5 in my room.
Yeah, so I just hold on to it, and I'm like, I'll need this someday.
Yeah.
So definitely don't take it to
like an excessive hoarding, unhealthy extent, but just seeing how much garbage you have is definitely really
yes,
helpful.
Being conscious of the problem is very
yeah,
important.
Awareness.
Yeah. I think something that I always like to say is, like, I even said this when I was, like, introducing my campaign at the beginning of the semester. Reduce, reuse, recycle is kind of, like, what we all think about when we think about the environment. And it's not just three words that you could say in any order. There is an order to this. It's first you reduce, then you reuse it, and then the absolute last step is recycling. And I think that everybody's like, oh, recycling's so great, and it is, but, like, it is the last resort, you know? So just, like, if you're not using as much, you don't have to recycle as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, like, 4 out of 5 stuff doesn't get recycled, but if we use less, it's, like, 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's still less
yeah.
than 4 out of 5.
Yes.
You know, so that's important also when talking about consumerism. The less you consume,
mm-hmm.
the less it's going to affect
yeah.
our environment.
And we also have to keep in mind that we do live in a consumption-based society, so a lot of the structures for how we even function do not support a lifestyle that is based in reduction and based in reusing all of our materials. So just don't take everything you do to heart, because it will severely negatively impact your mental health.
Yes.
And it's something that I know all of us have struggled with.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind that in areas that you can reduce your own consumption, do it. And it's also good to keep in mind that, like, you are just one individual. You are kind of a cog in the machine. So, yes, you can take your individual steps to reduce your own consumption, but when we talk about consumerism in society, we should really be focused on changing the system and changing how the machine that is making this whole structure that is destroying our environments is negatively impacting all of us.
Absolutely. I think that's, like, so important, because I think part of the reason that we feel so guilty about all the consume, like, the things that we consume ourselves, is because companies will sometimes turn around and be like, well, if you like the environment so much, just don't buy our plastic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
But everything in society is mm-hmm. based around, like Maddie said, like, we live in a consumerism type of society. It's hard, and it's a lot of pressure on yourself to try and fix that by yourself through your own individual change.
Yeah.
It's something you can't really get around. But that's why we have the podcast, because we want to get more people aware of the problem so that we can make bigger change
yeah.
within the whole system,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And I wanted to give a really good example of this, because it's even a problem at the UConn campus. If I was to forget my water bottle one day, there is no way for me to get a non-plastic access to a water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the convenience store that's in the student union. Every single bottle of soda, of juice, literally anything is made in plastic bottles and sold in plastic bottles, except for sparkling water, which I don't know about you guys, but I really don't like sparkling water.
That's so crazy.
But what I ended up having to do to relieve myself of the guilt of using a plastic bottle is getting the sparkling water and just letting the fizz out so that I could just have a nice time with, like, lightly tinted lemon water.
Yeah, I definitely, you see that everywhere. I mean, you can't get around using plastic every once in a while. It's important not to beat yourself up about it. I mean, we do it. I'm a campaign coordinator for Zero Waste. And so don't yell at me if you see me with a plastic bottle in the side pocket of my backpack. I promise I've used it at least, like, 5 times over again. But, you know, like, it happens. You got to make sure you're taking care of yourself and things like that, and keeping that in mind. But
mm-hmm. I really like what you guys are saying about, like, the eco-anxiety from purchasing plastic. It's definitely real, but I feel like a lot of people have been greenwashed to think that the only thing that they can do once they buy something is recycle it, and then that is, like, the only way that they can do well by the environment. And I found that those people usually don't know that much about recycling, and
they tend to think that recycling is the answer to everything, but then they find out that recycling isn't very effective.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, well, it's not worth it to do anything for the environment because the one thing that was supposed to save us actually does not work.
Yeah.
And so I really like your point when you were talking about reduce first.
Yeah.
That definitely, that's like, I think what people should take away from this.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something else that I wanted to mention. I can't remember, but I think we just talk a lot about, like, it's not really our fault. I think we're going to go into this a little bit more in another episode later about, like, greenwashing and things like that. But we're kind of told, like, it's okay if you buy all these plastic bottles that we're making because you can just recycle it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really the truth, you know? But yeah, definitely something to keep in mind.
All right, so I think that wraps up almost everything that we wanted to discuss in this episode. Any final thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, I know Thanksgiving's coming up, Black Friday's coming up, you know, Christmas is coming up.
Halloween is coming up.
Yes, Halloween costumes, all of that, like, keep consumerism on the brain during this season, you know. Just be aware as you can. Talk to people about it. Come to our meetings. Come to practice. You know, be a part of the change.
You can swap clothing instead of buy new ones.
Yes.
Talk to your friends. Come to the clothing swaps.
Yeah. Try and find, like, a Halloween costume. Like, at the thrift store, at the Savers,
yeah.
I remember, we went there recently, and they had a bunch of Halloween stuff that you could use. Like, go retro, go 80s, you know? You can find ways around it that are still going to be just as fun.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you guys for watching all the way to the end. Thanks to our special guest, Sam Lamb.
Yes, thank you. Woo!
So, I'm very glad to have you here. We're going to wrap up, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.